Welcome to Hermaphobia number 10. I'm Alan.
And I'm Mark. And we're here to talk to you about movies, TV shows, entertainment.
Actually, the TV shows, I think we're going to break off to a separate file that you guys can download separately. We're concerned about spoilers and whatnot and don't want to get ragged on about that again. So,
like in Heroes, when Hero finds the...
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. So how was your week?
Well, as you know, we started off the week in pain. You and I chopped all that wood out in the carport and hurt. Holy shit, I have not done physical labor like that in years.
See, here's a funny little story. Mark moved in April. Since then, he's done, the 3 hours of yard work, which was the chopping wood. And he's gone on about it ever since. You'd swear to Christ he moved the fucking mountain.
Shut your hole. I hurt a lot.
Yeah, your pain brings me pleasure. What can I say?
Well, anyways, yeah, we had all that wood. We stacked it all up. And then I got a load of wood delivered. And you stacked that up. And then the landlord came over and stacked up even more wood. Like, I think that we can probably go through the winter without even turning on the furnace. We have so much wood now.
We could set the town on fire, quite literally.
Yeah. We just need matches.
I got them.
Excellent. What about yourself?
On the good side, I am starting a little 2-week break from work, which is...
You lucky bastard.
I can't even wait to do all the nothing I'm going to do.
Yeah, because you don't actually go away when you go on your vacations. You just sit around the house. And...
I don't sit around the house. I get shit done.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, like, you're still around the house. You're not going out and getting shit done.
Yeah, I like being at home.
Oh, something else that happened this week is that I decided to redo my computer today.
The reformatting.
This is the first time that I've done this for... I don't even know how long I've had my current computer. At least a year and a half.
Probably longer than that. I've had mine for at least that long, and you got yours well before I got mine. You got yours right after Vista came out.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, that's right. I did, because I was one of the friggin' early adopters, and I hate being an early adopter. But, yeah, I got to learn how to use it properly. That's the thing. But yeah, this is the first time I've redone it since then, and it's taking forever. Like, I did not realize just how long it was going to take me, but...
Also this week, okay. On Tuesday, Sex and the City was released. I was quite excited, because I enjoyed me some Sex and the City. And I had already seen the movie, but I wanted to get the DVD. So went down to Future Shop, because they were having, you know, this exclusive packaging. It was a steel box set and everything. So went down on Tuesday to make sure I got it. Wednesday, popped the disc into the machine after work. I was going to just kind of podge out, watch a movie after work. And fucking disc was cracked. Like, literally cracked. Like, you could bend it and you could see her. It was just ready to buckle. So I didn't get around to returning it till today, and of course they were sold out.
Of course they are.
Of course they were. But, I mean, Sex and the City came out in a one-disc theatrical edition and a two-disc extended edition. And basically the steel box was just the extended with a nice pretty package.
Yeah. Plus those steel boxes look really cool.
Oh, yeah. So I figured, okay, they didn't have any more of the steel boxes, so I was like, well, just... Give me a two-disc edition. Let's swap out the broken disc, and I'm set. They didn't even have any of the extended editions. They had fucking shitload of fucking one-disc theatrical editions. Who buys those?
I don't know. Well, I do know people that only watch the movies. They don't do any of the special features or any of that stuff.
Yeah, but the movie is actually like about half an hour shorter if you just buy the single-disc edition.
Huh. I did not know that.
Yeah, so it makes no sense to me at all. Who would buy that in the first place? And so, yeah, I'm a little choked because I got no sex. I got no city.
Welcome to the club.
And also, but inside of the packaging, they had this advertisement for, I believe it was for Mercedes. It was a Mercedes 8 HMV.
Something or other.
No, SUV. That's what I'm looking for. So I was sitting there going, why am I looking at advertising when I open up this package? This is ridiculous. This is the same as going to the fucking theater and seeing a commercial before the movie.
Well, the commercials before the trailers, before the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, I just put down $12.50 to see a movie with some trailers in front of it, not commercials.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. I mean, commercials are there to either subsidize or pay for what it is that you're there for. If you're going to get something for free, you should expect some advertising. Or if you're going to get something dirt cheap, maybe a little bit of advertising. But
yeah,
when you're paying $25 for a DVD, I don't need advertising. If you're paying $12 to go to a movie, you don't need advertising.
Yeah, plus the $8 for the popcorn and the $5 for the large pop.
Well, no, that's aside from the point. I'm talking about advertising. I don't want to see tampon commercials before the movie that I'm going to watch. I don't want to see... It has absolutely nothing to do with what it is that I'm sitting down there for. Mm-hmm. Don't try and sell me internet service. Don't try and sell me a car. Don't try and sell me feminine protection. Don't try... I've seen all of these sort of things before a movie, and it's ridiculous. Like...
Mm-hmm. A lot of soft drink ads, too, and Snapple and stuff like that, like drinks.
Yeah. It's just... It's inappropriate. Especially in a theater, because you're there to see the movie. You've paid your money. You're not really going to get so incensed about it that you're going to get up and leave. So you're more or less captive anyhow. Mm-hmm. The trailers, yes. I mean, trailers are advertisement. I get that. But
they're advertisements for the movies.
Exactly. Coming out. You know, that's part of the reason that I enjoy movies is for trailers, because you get to see what's coming. And
part of the time, those are better than the actual movie that you went to go see. Sadly.
But, you know, it's just the advertising. And I get that, you know, there's product placement within the film. Fine, whatever, you know. That's, depending on how you feel about it, it's either cool or not. But it's there. It's, you know, it's either overt or it's subliminal or whatever.
So, like, how blatant is it, too?
Yeah.
Like, that also throws me out of movies where, like, the characters are all drinking Coke and the cans are turned towards you. It's like, I do enjoy me some Coca-Cola.
Yeah. And, you know, so I get that, you know, that there's a lot of advertising that's built into films and everything now, but don't give me a commercial. Don't give me a flat-out pitch.
Mm-hmm.
That irritated me when I opened up the case and saw that Mercedes advertisement. It's just...
Like, I can see advertising for other DVDs.
Absolutely.
In their stable, you know, like...
Well, they've got, like, 6 seasons of Sex and the City that they could be trying to sell me when I open up that damn thing, right?
Yeah.
That would make a lot more sense. Or films that Sarah Jessica Parker or, you know, the rest of the cast have been in. I mean, that would make a lot more sense. But no, a Mercedes SUV.
Was there a Mercedes SUV used in the movie?
Fuck the fine. No, I don't... I mean, that's not... You know what I mean? Like, that's not what I watch for when I'm watching a movie.
Yeah.
So that's my rant.
And I second it.
So a fairly big deal this week in the movie world was the passing of Paul Newman.
Yes.
A iconic actor of a lot of great films. The Sting, Hud, Color of Money.
Butch and Sundance.
Yeah.
Not only was he an actor, but he was also like a huge philanthropist as well.
Right. Well, I know that Joanne Woodward did a lot of that kind of stuff. That's his wife.
Of 50 years, yeah. No less.
Yeah.
A Hollywood marriage lasting 50 years, like holy shit.
Yeah.
Any
marriage, really.
Yeah, but he donated all of his profits from his Newman's Own products
mm-hmm.
to charity.
Oh, I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, and that came out to about $250 million over the course of the product line so far.
That's $250 million. That's impressive.
Yeah, like who else has donated that much money besides like Ted Turner to the UN, but that was $1 billion over 10 years or something like that.
No, it's sad. It's definitely sad. I think probably my favorite film that he was in was Nobody's Fool, was with him and Bruce Willis and Melanie Griffith and Jessica Tandy and just a whole bunch. It was just a great movie. Made me cry a little bit.
Yeah, see, I liked The Sting. I liked the whole working together and tricking people. I saw the
Sting after I saw The Grifters, and there's a lot of parallels.
Yeah.
You know, one's just a lot lighter than the other kind of thing. So it was kind of familiar territory, and I don't know, it didn't rock it for me. But, yeah, our condolences to the Newman family, and...
thanks for the memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, this week, a judge declared a mistrial in the RIA... Wow, I wish they would change their name or something like that. It's a little bit easier to say really quickly. RIAA Jamie Thomas trial. I know she pronounces it Jamie Thomas, but it's spelled Jamie, and I'm going to say Jamie.
I honestly didn't get why people were calling her Jamie to begin with. I mean, really, like, how smart don't you have to be to figure out that it was freaking Jamie?
Well, I have a friend who also has her name spelled improperly.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is still pronounceable. I believe that even Jamie Summers in The Bionic Woman was double M. So.
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't it?
No. Sure? Yeah, okay. I am very sure.
Whatever. Carry on.
Anyways, the same judge that actually presided over the trial a year ago, he had a change of heart over the summer, and he said, and he brought in both parties and overturned the awarding of $220,000 to the RIA from Jamie Thomas, because he felt that his instructions to the jury were improper. And yeah, it's just crazy. The RIA can still retry her, but there's going to be a different set of instructions to the jury.
If it was overturned, so it would have to be overturned without prejudice, so that there is no judgment made. Otherwise, it can't be tried again, right?
But it's open for a retrial. That's what it says in the article here from Wired magazine.
But that doesn't make any sense. Because how can you have a retrial on a decision that was overturned? So she's not found guilty. So how can you be found if it's overturned? Well, if the ruling's overturned.
It was only overturned because of improper instructions to the jury by His Honor Judge Davis himself.
So would that not be a mistrial?
And
if it's a mistrial, you can't try it again, can you?
Yeah, you can.
Can you? Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah. But here's where I thought it got kind of funny. The RIAA sues after online detectives log into Kazaa, LimeWire, or any other file sharing service, look for open share folders, take screenshots of the music listed, and download some of the songs. Isn't that kind of breaking the law to begin with? Breaking the law to sue somebody?
They do have permission from
the RIAA, but in order to download with any of these P2P things, you have to share out as well. So, in effect, by them downloading the songs, they're also sharing them as well. So they could be held liable for sharing these songs that they're downloading.
Well, wouldn't it depend on who exactly was doing it and what sort of... I mean, it's kind of like, you know, them going online to catch a predator kind of thing. If you have some sort of affiliation with some sort of law for enforcement detachment, then wouldn't you have some sort of wiggle room? I don't know. It's law, and I mean, like, law is fucking complicated shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the whole case was ridiculous. The ruling was overboard.
Yeah. You know, although
24 songs, and it was what, $200,000?
$220,000. Here's the thing. Some of the jurors wanted to actually levy the full amount of the fine, which could be up to $150,000 per track. And they wanted to put a full $150,000 per song that was made available for download. Can you imagine?
You know, it's people in glass houses, you know. These people and this judge, you know, you cannot tell me that they don't have a kid or a grandkid or a brother, a sister, somebody out there who's on the internet participating in these activities.
Yeah.
Would they really want to see their families completely fucking wiped out because of sharing a fucking Britney Spears song?
Not the Britney Spears songs.
Well,
I know, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, like...
And here they are up on their high horse.
Yeah.
Like,
oh. Like, I honestly, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the judge went away and, you know, for the summer and probably had dozens of people getting right up in his fucking grill and going, do you realize how many people are out there doing this? Do you know how many people that you are making criminals by doing this? Do you know if your kids are doing this? You know, like, if your kids are away in fucking college, you know, they're the big fucking pirates, according to the RIAA and the MPAA. So...
How can you say it fast and I can't?
Because I don't know.
I trip over my tongue.
Anything that's AA, you know, I'm all about. So, but, you know, it. I think the realization is probably there that, you know, shit, you know, I'm criminalizing or making criminals of a lot of people. And I guess they are engaged in criminal behavior, but as far as file sharing and stuff like that goes, it's plausible that people aren't aware exactly what it is that they're sharing. You know, how easy would it be for somebody to just sort of click it? Once you get into one of those programs, you're supposed to assign which folders you're going to share with. What if somebody somehow fucking screwed it up and their entire C drive
got shared? Yes. Then Microsoft could come in and sue their asses off. Well, here's the thing. When I was back east this summer, I was working on my aunt's computer and... I noticed that a P2P program was installed on her system, BitComet. And I was astounded. Like, this is somebody who is over 60 and barely uses her computer.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it was installed by a friend of a friend of theirs. And... even my mom, who was staying there, was using it to download movies.
Yeah.
And she had no idea that it was illegal. Hey, these things are just up there.
Yeah.
So how many people are out there downloading movies and songs thinking, oh, hey, it's just right there.
Yeah.
It's for free. It's available.
Yeah.
It must be all right.
Well, I mean, obviously... The judge that made this case exemplifies the fact that there are a lot of people out there that aren't educated about this at all. So, whereas ignorance isn't an excuse, it's definitely consideration. But there's a lot of people out there and that just aren't tech savvy. And I mean, honestly, like, you can get into so much trouble over so little because of you know, the absurd copyright laws and everything else that are put into place. That I think that there's got to be a little bit of understanding, a little bit of wiggle room.
Plus, here's the big thing. This isn't murder.
No. You know?
This is somebody getting some songs to listen to.
Yeah. And when you're talking about 24 songs at $220,000, come on. Seriously? Okay, charge her, you know, $20 per song for the CDs that she didn't download. I can see that. You know, if they really want to... go under the guise that, you know, that they've lost sales because of this. Well, okay, you've lost one sale. She didn't buy your fucking disc. So if you're going to charge her, you know, the cost of a fucking CD per song kind of thing.
Yeah, make her go out and buy all the albums that had these songs on it. Plus, maybe, like, throw in, like, 40 hours of community service or something like that. Nothing. Yeah. But, yeah.
The judgment was way too punitive. I mean, I get that it was made to, you know, scare everybody else from downloading stuff, but she has to live her life from this point on, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you can, by making an example of her, you're making her life complete fucking shit. to try and scare everybody else who you're not fucking scaring.
And the thing is, too, is that they weren't even sure if it was her doing it. It's her IP address, but who knows if it's behind a router, like a wireless router, or somebody could have tapped into the router. Anything.
Well, that's another thing, too. Kids. I mean, you know, there's people that have open wireless connections and stuff like that. Anybody can, you know, jump on board and start downloading all sorts of crazy shit. So, and even at that, I mean, there's a lot of people that are smart enough that they can break into a normal type of network and start using a connection. I think that you have to be 100% certain that you're actually levying charges against exactly the right person when you take them into court. This half-assed...
We'll just throw charges out at everybody and see what sticks.
Yeah. You know, and now that there's people pushing back, the RIA is losing a lot more cases, and, you know, there's got to be some precedent set.
And this hopefully will set it.
Yeah. So it's time to talk about some earworms, those songs that get stuck in your head and you just can't shake them out of there.
Oh, I am so embarrassed this week.
Oh, God, oh, no. Well, let the embarrassment begin. What do you got for us?
Well, one of my coworkers was looking for a song to play at one of the music things that he does at the day program. And I found it. And that stuck in my head for the last 3 days. Mm-hmm. It's Be Strong, Mark. Gwyneth Paltrow and Huey Lewis, Cruisin'.
Goodbye.
Baby, let's cruise. Don't be confused.
The way is clear.
And if you want it, you got it forever. This is not a one-night stand, baby.
Yeah.
So let the music take your mind. Just release and
that at fucking Safeway or something the other day, and I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, seriously?
I am so sorry.
It was supposed to be a bad karaoke song in a bad movie about fucking karaoke. I can't believe that it got fucking radio play to begin with, and now you're fucking perpetuating it? Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Oh, man. It would go away, and then I'd be doing something at my computer or walking around at work, and then all of a sudden I'd be humming or thinking of the song, mostly Gwyneth Paltrow's parts, actually, because she seemed to have a really nice voice. Okay, fine, Mr. Point Your Finger. What was your earworm this week?
Still the same one as last week. I still got Toronto stuck in my head. That's... Yeah. And yeah, right now I got a little bit of a puke in the back of my throat, so I'm going to have to take a little break here. So Kevin Smith had a bad day here in Canada. He was trying to catch a flight from Calgary to Edmonton, I believe.
Well...
He was trying to catch a flight to Edmonton via Air Canada, and he got there in plenty of time, and he got shut out because they had called the flight before or after he was there, but they didn't announce it.
Yeah.
So when he got to the gate, they were no longer admitting anyone onto the plane, and he was willing to ditch his luggage and everything else. And they're kind of like, yeah, too bad, so sad.
The flight's closed.
Yeah. Which, wouldn't you then play the I'm Kevin Smith card?
Yeah, it's like, I'm a celebrity.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm going to the speaking engagement where, you know, there's a lot of people waiting for me, yada, yada, yada. This is just a lot of bad press for them. Air Canada really, really fucked up.
Yeah, I hope to see this on the front page of the papers tomorrow, or at least in the entertainment section.
It's unlikely that it will, but it's just stupid. Obviously, he's not with the Taliban. He's not, yeah. You know, he hasn't got any explosives strapped to his body that we know of. You know,
after listening to his Smodcast, the only explosives are going to come coming out of his ass.
Yeah, so it's just ridiculous. They, if you're there, an hour and a half early for his flight?
Well, no, he was over an hour.
He was at the terminal at 9:48 for an 11:05 flight. So he waited in line for 15 minutes. No announcement that they were closing the Edmonton flight. He gets to the desk where he's told he's too late. Locked out of the flight, and he's like, I'm ditching my luggage. Can I just get my boarding pass so I can get on the plane? I'm told, no, they won't let me ticket you. The flight's closed. And there were still 20 minutes to go before they even started boarding, and 50 minutes before the flight took off.
That's insane. Like, I fly a lot, and especially this year. And, yeah, here you just got to get to the airport like an hour early, if that. Check in, boom, you're right there.
Yeah, you know, who knows what Air Canada is going to have to say for themselves. But I'm sorry, there's really no excuse. All right, well, let's jump into our DVD movie picks of the week before we break here and go into our little TV talk.
All right.
What have you selected for us this week?
Ah, I have selected a classic. And not
a classic?
Yeah, a classic. Oh. This is the movie that introduced me to Luc Besson and to Jean Reno. La Femme Nikita. Oh, such a good movie. It was so good that it even spawned an American remake, Point of No Return. And the Nikita TV series. I'd have to say that I preferred the original over both of these of the remakes, and it still holds up to this day.
It's a great movie. It's probably one of the best action films, period. You know, it's just amazing. I mean, it's a really, really cool story. Junkie becomes a secret service agent, hired, you know, secret assassin. She's leading a double life. It's just, it's cool. It is so cool. The action sequences are amazing. The restaurant scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool.
Yeah. With that window being bricked up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Anna Perrot is just devastatingly beautiful. And yes, she can act. Like, she's, you know, total double threat there. Her performance as Nikita is just amazing. I don't know. I can't think of anything bad to say about the film, you know? Like, it's really well structured. It's well paced. It takes its time building up the story and then finally telling it. Everybody in it is amazing. Jackie Cairo is good, but yeah. I'm thinking more of Jeanne Moreau, the woman that plays her instructor who teaches her the secrets of the femininity and all that sort of stuff. Jean-Hugues Anglade, I believe, plays her the boyfriend that she meets at the supermarket and ends up developing a relationship with. He's amazing. He was in Betty Blue and Le Homme Blesse. He's a great actor. It's just a really, really great cast, great film.
And if you have not seen it and you think that Point of No Return is what it was supposed to be, then you've got to see this.
Yeah. Point of No Return is not a bad movie. It
didn't bring anything to the plate. It pretty much ripped it off. Same with the first episode of Nikita. It was pretty much a retelling of La Femme Nikita.
Which you expect, you know, to a certain degree, but you kind of hope they're going to bring something else to the table. And in both cases, they really didn't. I believe it was John Badham did Point of No Return. And, you know, it was everybody in it was solid and everything, but it's just, if you've seen La Femme Nikita, it was unnecessary.
But this is actually hope that any remakes that are made, like as we've seen, the original shines through.
Yeah.
And isn't tarnished by the remakes.
But I bet you a lot more North American eyes saw Point of No Return than saw La Femme Nikita.
Yeah, that's probably because of the subtitles. How about yourself? What was your DVD pick?
This week I revisited Jackie Brown.
Ah.
I love Jackie Brown. I think it is my favorite Tarantino-directed flick.
Really?
I know that when it came out, a lot of people were really disappointed in it. You know, it followed up Pulp Fiction. I don't think you can expect anybody to reinvent the wheel every time they step up.
Well, and Pulp Fiction was such, like, a genre breaker.
Maker. I mean, Tarantino borrows a lot of elements from a lot of different sources, but it's sort of how he pieces it back together. And with Jackie Brown, I mean, oh man, the casting is amazing. Mm-hmm. Pam Grier. I fell in love with Pam Grier for this film alone. I mean, I haven't seen, you know, all the old films, the Foxy Brown, yeah, all that kind of stuff.
All the blaxploitation movies, you know, yeah.
But you know, you've seen her in the background of other films. I mean, she stayed acting the entire time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, never as a headliner, she became more of a supporting actor. As Reznor drinking in the background, if you can hear. you know, became more of a supporting actor. She kicks ass in this. I mean, she's got that crooked little smile and she's all charm, and you can totally understand how everybody buys into all the bullshit that.
And considering when she first came out in all those blaxploitation movies, and this is done, 96? And yeah, so we're talking probably 25 to 30 years since those movies came out. Well, okay, 70s, we'll say 25 years.
Yeah, 15 to 20.
And she still looks amazing.
Yeah. But, I mean, she's great in it. Robert De Niro, taking a supporting role and playing it so subtly, you know? Like, you expect De Niro to blow up a little bit, and he just doesn't. He everything's really, really low-key about his performance. Sam Jackson is great. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he's got that right blend of sort of loser but menacing and just mm-hmm. creepy and everything else. Michael Keaton is hilarious. Bridget Fonda, who, incidentally, was at Point of No Return.
Yes.
You watch this and you go, what happened to her career? You know?
Yeah.
Like, really, Point of No Return, Lake Placid, and this. It's kind of sad.
Wasn't she in Simple White? No, I'm sorry.
Well, Single White Female, yes.
Not Simple White Female.
That's Mark's type, the Simple White Female.
Shut up! I'll take what I can get.
And my favorite in this film, Robert Forrester.
Mm-hmm.
He is
underrated and underused.
Oh my god, you know, you watch it, you're just mesmerized by him in this movie. He hits everything just pitch perfect. he really grounds the film. He brings a realism to this film that, as convoluted as it is and everything else, he's sort of that calm eye of the storm.
I can't add much to your conversation about the movie because I haven't seen it since it was in the theater.
Oh, see,
I just, and when you mentioned that you just watched it again the other day, I was like, crap.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing that again.
Oh, I'll watch it again soon.
Well, how about after we've done this?
Yeah. I got the two-disc collector's edition of it. It's jam-packed with all sorts of extras. Unfortunately, no commentary.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, no commentary. But it's got, you know, little things like deleted and alternate scenes. Siskel and Ebert's original review. Siskel when he was still alive and everything. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Old Pam Grier and Robert Forrester trailers for like their old 70s exploitation films and stuff. It's got tons and tons of stuff. And right now it is, at least up here in Canada, it's running in the sales racks, not the $5.99 rack or anything like that, but it's sub 20.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a Tarantino fan and you collect his other works, it's definitely worth having. If it's been a few years since you watched it, sit down and give it a chance again, because it, I remember it being really good, but I didn't remember it being as good as it was when I watched it the other day. Like, it just, loved it. And, that's my contribution.
Alrighty.
We're going to break off here and say goodbye to those who are, not going to bother listening to the TV stuff. It's going to be a separate file, so there'll be two downloads this week. In the TV episode, we will be talking about plot points, spoilers, all that kind of stuff. So if there's something that you're waiting to see that you haven't gotten around to, probably best to avoid or pay really close attention to where we're going next so that you can skip ahead. And if this is where we're saying goodbye, have a great week.
Aww.
And take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You can email us at hermaphobia@gmail.com. Also, visit our blog at hermaphobia.blogspot.com.